It's Saturday, the 27th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to Devin Harris and Myers Leonard. Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and TKGP93. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like TKGP93, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor. Of course, a big thanks go out to Moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you live in Australia and you're playing daily fantasy sports, hope it's on Moneyball because they are the best in the business. We are here a little bit later than usual, so I do apologize for that for you guys watching along live and listening to the audio podcast later. It's just a couple of hours later than usual, but stuff does happen from time to time. But we're going to get stuck straight into it. So, Michael Bolton, what do we do?
Let's get to it.
Yes, that is what we do. On Friday, we had a couple of the daily contests running as per usual. On Facebook, we were looking at Emmanuel Mudiay, and we're looking for the combined points, assists, and turnovers that Mudiay would have. And Tomasi Tulia goes for the hat trick. 14 was the correct answer. Tomasi absolutely on fire. 3 in a row. Can he back it up for 4 in a row? I guess we'll see on Saturday's contest. On Instagram, we're looking at Al Jefferson combined points and rebounds. The answer was 12, and we had one winner. And the winner was the old boiler, who happens to be my mum. So congratulations to Robin for getting the Al Jefferson one correct. Knows absolutely nothing about the NBA and knows nothing about Al Jefferson, but threw a number 12 out there. And was the only person to get it right. So congratulations, Robin. Let's look at Saturday on Instagram. We're going to look at Mason Plumlee. Combined rebounds and assists for Plumlee. And on Facebook, we're looking at Born Ready, Lance Stevenson. Combined points and assists. So make sure you're checking out those posts when they go up. And leaving your answer and tagging your friends. Let's get stuck straight into the action from Friday. Because there were some pretty monstrous lines that were out there. But the most monstrous line goes to Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers. Paul was incredible against the Sacramento team, who is obviously a defense optional team. 36 minutes for Paul, 40 points with 4 triples, 8 rebounds, 13 assists, and 2 steals. And he was playing with 0 turnovers for most of the game. He did finish with 2, but for the majority of the time out there, 0 turnovers, which is incredible. And then he shoots 13 of 20 from the field, and he hits all 10 of his free throws. And I talk about this quite often, but everyone was writing Chris Paul off to start the season. He's done. I wasted my end of the first round pick on him. What a bum. Season's ruined. Yeah, not so much. He's ranked 6th overall this season. He's ranked inside the top 5 over the last 2 months. He's averaging for the season basically 20 points a game, 9.5 rebounds, 1.7 triples, 4 rebounds, 2 steals on 46% shooting. But over the last month, that 46% is at 49%. So with Blake Griffin out, he's actually increased his efficiency. He hasn't missed a free throw in the last 2 weeks. And that's 5 games. When you're taking 4.6 attempts per game, we're talking 20 plus. You know, 23, 24 straight free throws that Chris Paul's made. He's been fantastic value in so many leagues for so many years. He's a perennial top 5 guy. When's it going to end? I don't know. I released the Dynasty Monster board yesterday. I think I got Chris Paul at about 14 or 15. But now looking back at it, I think that's probably too low. But you feel like at some point in the next year or two, he's going to go from being a top 5 guy to, you know, the 10th or 11th player. But every year we think that, it just doesn't happen. He just continues to be excellent at playing NBA basketball and at being a fantasy basketball contributor. So Chris Paul, awesome yet again. The waiver wire line of the night, we're going to go with Chris Paul's teammate. And we're going to go with Green. He played 31 minutes, 22 points, 4 triples, 5 rebounds, and a block on super efficient 9 of 13 shooting. That was his first game in the starting lineup, and that came because Paul Pierce was out with a personal issue. Jeff Green got the start. He played 31 minutes. He clearly hasn't been this good in all the Clippers games that he's played. He's played off the bench. He's played in a limited role. But he was a guy who I was stressing, I'm holding on to him. I want to see what happens with this because there's plenty of minutes at the 3 and plenty of minutes at the 4. And eventually he's going to play minutes over Luke Marmute, over Paul Pierce, over Wes Johnson, and get a bigger role. Now, he's not going to be efficient like this often. He's not going to hit four triples and have 22 points. That's just not who Jeff Green is. But he's a 12-team league guy, and he's going to have value for the next two, three weeks until Blake Griffin comes back. I'm pretty confident about that. And it does take these times, these teams, or these players, just a couple of weeks or a week or bit and a bit to get acclimated into their role with their new team. And maybe that's Green's situation. He'll probably go back to the bench in the next one, but Pierce will play 16 minutes. Green should get 25 to 28 off the bench and still be relatively productive. By no means is he a must-add guy that someone, oh, I've got to go and grab Jeff Green. I've got to go and grab Jeff Green. He's not that sort of player, but he's not out of place on a 12-team roster. He's only owned in 45% of leagues, so he is still around. And there are plenty of players who are owned in leagues in higher percentages of that I would rather have Jeff Green over. The young gun of the night.
Percentages.
Yes, Kristaps really looking fantastic at the moment. And again, 25 minutes only, but 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, great percentages. There's going to be bad nights with him. He's not as, you know, variability-proof as what Karl Towns is. But still, he's able to put up, you know, big numbers. His last 2 weeks since apparently hitting the rookie wall, he's averaging 16-4 with 1.2 steals and 1.2 blocks. The thing that's dropped is his rebounding. You know, 4 rebounds a game when he's at 7.4 for the season is a little bit disappointing. And the high rebounding numbers that came at the start of the season, they're nowhere to be seen. Over the last 3 months, he's at 6.7, which is down from 7.4. The last 2 months, 6.4. The last month, 5.8. So we're seeing a steady decline in his rebounding. But I think if you were hoping for him to be a 10 rebound a game guy, that's just not what his game is. And you've got to be happy with everything else. The steals, the blocks, the threes. He's likely, or he's very close to being a triple one guy this year. He's at 1.1 threes, 1.9 blocks, and 0.8 steals. So that'd be great to get him as a triple one guy with the scoring, with a really good free throw percentage. He's a very good fantasy player. He's a very good real life player. So Kristaps is the young gun of the night. The dud of the night, a guy who'd been insanely hot, Jordan Clarkson, who played 29 minutes and had 8 points on 4 of 16 shooting, 2 rebounds and 2 assists. And I vaguely remember a couple of days ago talking about how well Jordan Clarkson was playing and saying, there is no way he can continue to shoot at these percentages. Love what he's doing. Love Jordan Clarkson. Think he can be a top 50 guy and a top 75 guy down the stretch here. But there was no way he was going to be able to continue this, you know, ludicrously hot shooting streak. Now, it's one game, so he'll probably shoot better in the next one. But that's the sort of regression that you have to expect. Now, you never know when it's going to come. You never know which game that it's not going to fall, but he was never going to continue being that 50% three-point shooter or 58% from the field, whatever crazy number that he was shooting. It wasn't going to continue. It was a stinker here. I'm not overly concerned by it, but there was going to be, you know, some sort of regression to, not even necessarily to his season averages, because he could be better than that, but some regression down from ludicrous shooting, which is what he was doing previous to that. The perfect DFS lineup for Friday. Kyle Lowry, the point guards went big. Big money point guards were the way to go. 68.5 for Kyle Lowry, 71.1 for Chris Paul. At shooting guard, Aaron Aflalo went 33.9. He's never a cash option, but he's always a great tournament play. He came through at 33, and Lance Stephenson, 27.9. Didn't really see that one coming, but he's got some extra run with Tony Allen being limited with his knee. Bob Cove had a great game, 36.4. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but that's a big game from Bob Cove. And Paul George with 50.2. That was a nice outing from him, and he was one that was relatively predictable, I think. Yeah, overall, on yesterday's DFS picks, I got quite a few wrong, but Paul George is one of the ones that I got right. At power forward, Darrell Arthur, please. If he gets minutes, we know he's going to produce, but there's no circumstance where you could have said Darrell Arthur's going to play the most minutes out of everyone in that Denver front court. 27.1 for him. And Marvin Williams had a red-hot game, 48.1, while Boogie Cousins went for 58.5. A big, big game for him. All in all, that lineup would have given you 421.7. But I think having a lineup with Lance Stephenson, Darrell Arthur, Aaron Aflalo, Bob Cove in it, it would have been a thing of miracles for that to have actually taken place. So I doubt that anyone had that sort of lineup. All right, we are going to take a quick little break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to be back to talk the games in more detail, and we'll go through that in just a moment. All right, guys, we are back. Let's look through these games now. If you're watching along on the video, you can see the box scores up on the screen. The first one is the Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers. Marvin Williams, who I just touched on, 26 and 13 for Williams. 5 triples, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in 35 minutes. Continues to play basically better than Marvin Williams has ever played in his life. And that's an odd thing for a guy who's 29 years old. Just really, I don't even know the right word, just balling out. Maybe that's it. He is a top 80 player over the course of the season. He's a top 40 player over the last month. So he's actually improved somehow. He's got his threes up in that last month to 2.4 a game. He's at 15 points. He's shooting the lights out at 53%. But again, that's one of those situations where you go, okay, what's he averaged in the last five seasons? 46, 43, 42, 44, 43. He's at 44 for the season. 53% is not sustainable. If you're going to sell Marvin Williams and your trade deadline hasn't passed, this is as hot as he's going to get. He is not going to get hotter than this. He is not going to be better than 15 and 7.5 with 2.5 threes, a steal, a block on 53% shooting. He will not get better than that. This is a great sell high opportunity if you can do it. You might not be able to do it, and you might not be able to get anywhere near even equivalent value back for Marvin Williams, because I know if someone's offering me Marvin Williams, I'm going, Marvin Williams, a top 50 player, there's no way you're getting a top 50 player back. It's just not what I'm doing. But that's the sort of numbers he's been doing lately, and someone might buy into it, but just you look at these things that are unsustainable trends, and that's exactly what his current field goal percentage is. So have a look at that and see maybe if you can move it on. If you can get another top 50, top 40 guy back, I'd be pretty happy. Kemba Walker hit the game winner. He went 22 with 10 assists and 3 steals. And Cody Zeller played 27 minutes and was really good. 5 of 5 shooting, 14 points, 5 boards, and a block. While Al Jefferson played just 21 minutes and went 9 and 3. Did have 2 blocks, Al Jeff, but went 4 of 12. I was never on board with adding him in 12-team leagues. I'm still not on board with adding him or holding him. Cody Zeller, I think, was going to be the starting center for this team for the rest of the season. Jefferson is going to play in a backup role. He won't get past 25 minutes most nights. And that's not going to be good enough for 12-team leagues. I could always be wrong, definitely, but I'm feeling relatively confident that they're just going to keep going with Zeller. Jeremy Lin played only 22 minutes. His role and his ability to get a big enough role for standard leagues is done, while Courtney Lee played 39 minutes. He produced 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. So you like the 3 steals, but Courtney Lee is not someone that I'm loving for standard leagues. Despite the big role and the big minutes, he's just not a productive player. Nick Batum, only 6 points, but did add 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So still helped out fantasy-wise in that sense. And Jeremy Lamb with 5 points and 2 rebounds. And he's another one of those guys that started off the season shooting about 60% from the field. And great to own him, but you never wanted to drop massive value for him because it's unsustainable. And we've seen that now. He's regressed into Jeremy Lamb, who I still think is a really nice player and been underrated and underappreciated through his career so far. But he was never going to continue at that rate. Paulie George, 32, 6, and 4, 3 steals, a block, and 2 triples. While George Hill, brutal shooting, 3 of 13, 10 points, but added 6 boards, 7 assists, a pair of steals, and a pair of 3s. So a good night from him all up. And Monte Ellis tried his best to beat him with the bad shooting. He went 4 of 13, had 14 and 6, with not much else. Miles Turner only got 28 minutes here, but he was in a bit of foul trouble, but still 15 and 4 is a nice outing. And Yan Mahimi continues to get big minutes. 32 minutes for Mahimi. 6 and 9 with 4 assists and 2 steals on 2 of 4 shooting. Yan Mahimi is owned in less than 40% of Yahoo leagues. That shouldn't be the case. Yan Mahimi is ranked 102nd on the season. He's ranked 66th the last 2 weeks when he's been getting 32 minutes a night. He's inside the top 100 over the last 3 months. Yes, there is a free throw percentage issue with Mahimi, but in a punt free throw team, he fits beautifully. In these last 2 weeks, with these extra minutes, 11.5 points, 8.5 boards, 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks on 63% shooting, they're great numbers. And you look at 63 and you go, Josh, is that one of those outliers? Well, not really, because he's shooting 60% on the season. He shot 55 last year. They're not crazy numbers. Good rebounding, good steals, good blocks, really, really playing well, and clearly underappreciated in fantasy circles. Not much else to talk about on the bench. I don't like the fact that Mighty Joe Young didn't see the rotation at all with Rod Stuckey back, but now that he's out of the rotation, perfect time for your Dynasty League guys to pounce for a guy that isn't playing, and that might decrease the value of him in his owner's eyes, and you might be able to acquire him for a cheaper cost than you would normally. I think he's going to be a decent, if not starter, a sixth man in the league. the Washington Wizards and the Philadelphia 76ers. Johnny Wall, close to a triple-double, 23-8-11, added a steal and a block, so a big night from him. And what about the Markieff Morris situation? Well, Markieff, I thought it was looking great. He went to 28 minutes in the last game, only played 18 here, but foul trouble was an issue. But he was still really productive, 10-7, one steal, two blocks. I'm still on board with holding Markieff Morris. I've been on board with holding him since the start of January, basically, when I thought a trade was imminent. And then he started producing for Phoenix, and he started putting up numbers. And yes, things don't look great for him in Washington, but 10-7 with a steal and two blocks in 18 minutes is great. And it's foul trouble, and he played 28 minutes in the last game. They have invested in him. He is going to play. Jared Dudley got 30 minutes. He was great, 14-3-3, a steal, a block, and four triples, but he'd gone down to under 20 minutes in the last game, and his minutes were trending in the opposite direction. You still have to look at owning him in 12-team leagues, definitely. He's available, but I feel that we're going to see more consistently him playing less than Morris and being less productive. Marcin Gortat went 12-11 with a steal and a block. That's just a solid line. And like we actually saw Otto Porter play well. 9 points, but 10 boards, 3 steals, a block, and a 3-pointer. Probably the best he's done in a while. He's probably not a must-own guy to me. Garrett Temple started and played 12 minutes, and that's about all he should be playing, and I'm fine with that. 28 for Beal off the bench, 9-3-4. And Alan Anderson back into the rotation, 16 minutes in both of his games, 5 points with a triple and a block. Just good to see him back out there. I think he's a really underrated player. He's not going to impact really any fantasy leagues whatsoever. You're going to have to be in a 20 or 30 team league to really utilize him, but he's taken, you know, lots of minutes away from Garrett Temple. Gary Neal was out in this one as well, and he's got a role on this team. On the Sixers, Bob Cove, 33 minutes, 12-12, and he had a triple-triple-one. 3 threes, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. You know, I'm a big Bob Cove fan. I think he should be owned in most leagues, and he is. He's owned 77% of leagues, so that's the majority of leagues, clearly. But there are some where he's still not around, and even in the games where he plays 25 or 26 minutes, he's still been okay, and he's still been producing, and then he gets 33 here. And it all looks beautiful. So big night from Bob Cove. Jahlil Okafor had 21 points with 6 boards and a block. Really good shooting as well, 9 of 13 for him. And Nerlens Noel, 9 and 8 with a couple of steals. Not Nerlens' best night, but not terrible. Nick Stauskas probably had his best night though. 4 of 6 shooting for 15 points. Had 3 triples in 28 minutes, but he is an 18 to 20 team league guy, despite his status as a starter. Ish Smith can't get back to 30 minutes again. He was at 29-46, so close to 30. 10-7-8 with 2 steals and destroyed your field goal percentage. He is basically like a better basketballing Tony Roten in terms of what he does in fantasy. His actual real-life contribution is a lot more than what Roten does, but your percentages are going to hurt with Ish Smith on your team, no doubt. And you need to be structured to deal with that. Jeremy Grant had a solid-ish line, a steal and a block with 5 assists and 7 points in his 24 minutes, and he's not really a 12-team league consideration player. I was talking about Hollis Thompson, how he goes in streaks of being hot. Well, the hotness wore off. 23 minutes for him with just 3 points. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. I got so many tweets and messages about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie killed me. He's a disgrace. He's terrible. Killed my DFS. Someone on Facebook, never playing DFS again after this because I had Kyrie. And yeah, I was big on Kyrie yesterday, but he was bad. 10 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 1 steal with 4 of 11 shooting. I'm not off Kyrie at all. I still think he's an exceptionally talented player. This was not a good game for him, though. Just a lot of vitriol coming Kyrie's way after this game. LeBron was decent. Well, he's better than decent. He was good. 25-8-7 with a steal, and Kevin Love went 20 points with 9 boards and 5 assists. J.R. Smith, he hit his shots. He was 5 of 8, 13 points with 3 triples. And he's a borderline 12-team league guy. We saw Iman Shumpert return, so we saw Matthew Dellavedova go from 28 minutes a game down to 21. 8 points with 3 assists. That limits him from a 14-team league perspective as well. Now, it wasn't Tristan Thompson that lost his minutes to Channing Frye in this one. It was Tim Mozgov. Mozgov went down to 9 minutes. Frye got 12. And Thompson got 29. Really hard to own any of these guys in 12-team leagues. You'd stream Thompson in for rebounds. You might stream Channing Frye in for threes if you can't find someone else. But they're not going to be... They're not going to be 12-team guys for most of the year. On the Raptors, Lowry was incredible. He was very close to the monstrous line of the night. 43-5-9, 4 steals, 2 triples, 15 of 20 shooting, 11 of 15 from the free throw line. Has there been a bigger surprise? Well, there probably has been lots of surprises this season, but he is playing. He's a top 10 player. He's ranked 5th on the course of the season at 21.5 points, 5 boards, 6.5 assists. 2.7 triples, 2.2 steals. He has been incredibly good this season. Like, something that you couldn't fathom how well he's played. That's how good he's been. He has, he is taking his game to a new level, it feels like, almost every season. The thing with Lowry is he is 29, so how much longer does it continue? Can he do it for another 2 years? You feel like this is clearly peak Lowry, but I think we might get one more peak season, and then we're going to see a bit of a drop-off with him, because he is probably a little bit older than some people do realize. Jonas Valanciunas only played 28 minutes, but went 11-9 with a steal on stellar percentages, which is really his strong point. And Terrence Ross, he got hot, went 6 of 11 for 15 points with 3 triples in 27 minutes. Now, he got 27 minutes. That limited Corey Joseph to just 24, and it makes it real hard to own both of these guys in 12-team formats. Bismack Biyombo also went a bit crazy. He had 11 points in his 20 minutes, 5 of 5 shooting. He's only a deeper league consideration at the moment. DeMar DeRozan was sick, and he was terrible. 6-6, 2 assists and a steal on 1 of 11 shooting, but we'll give him a pass considering how well he's played this year, but clearly not what the Raptors needed. Hey, but they still got the victory anyway on a crazy Kyle Lowry game winner. Patrick Patterson played 37 minutes here and contributed 5 points. The minutes are so super appealing for him, but the production is just terrible. He has no place in a 12-team league, I don't think. He can be used in DFS because he is a sub-4,000 guy, and occasionally he'll hit some shots, but that is just brutally bad. The Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. Scott Skiles. Interesting decisions. Evan Fournier, only 25 minutes. Another guy that I was high on for DFS yesterday. I do apologize. Irving and Fournier, I was pretty excited about, and they completely let me down. Well, they didn't let me down because they don't give a shit about what I do. They just had bad games. And Fournier was benched by Skiles in this one. Only 25 minutes for him, but there was foul trouble. He did foul out, so it's not completely on him. It's not completely on Skiles. 8 points with 2 triples and 2 assists, while Mario Hezonja got the extra run. 26 minutes, 8, 7, and 3 with 2 steals. That's great, but I'm just watching Hezonja now. If I owned him in a 16-team league, that's probably where it stays. I'm not making any moves in anything shallower than that. The point guard situation, we're back to Elfrid Payton here. 27 minutes, 8, 5, and 9, while Brandon Jennings played just 14 minutes, and CJ Watson played 14 minutes. Jennings is a drop in all 12-team leagues. Watson never was an ad. And Payton, if you're ready for the percentages, then you look at it, because 8 assists last game, 9 assists here. He can get steals, he can be an aggressive rebounder, and that's decent minutes for him the last couple of games. And there's been a couple of times this season where he's benched him and played limited minutes, and he's come back, and Payton's played strong and played 30 minutes on consistent occasions. And that could be what's happening here. But the Brandon Jennings dream is done, if he had any dreams about Brandon Jennings. Nick Vucevic went 18-8 in his 28 minutes, and Aaron Gordon finally got big minutes, 34 minutes. 17-8 with a 3, 2 assists, and a steal. He has to be owned everywhere. He's not, but that if he's only owned in 68% of leagues, that means that 32% of leagues are inactive, because he has to be owned everywhere. Vic Oladipo, 16-6-3, a nice 2 threes, 1 steal, and 1 block for him, and probably sums up the Magic, except Ersan Ilyasova only played 12 minutes and didn't score. His value has cratered significantly in this trade. He is a borderline 14-team league guy at the moment. On the Knicks, Robin Lopez was good again, 14-8 with a couple of blocks. Aaron Aflalo had 12 rebounds. That is really un-Aaron Aflalo-like. Had 14 points and a couple of triples as well. He's still not making the mark for me for 12-team leagues. And Jose Calderon, remember that report that came out? Calderon, they're going to change the starting lineup. Calderon's getting benched. Well, since then, he's played 30-plus minutes in 2 games. 31 here for 14-3-1. Jerian Grant got 16 minutes going 5-3-3, and Langston Galloway went 2-1-2 in his 17 minutes. Can't own Galloway, can't own Grant for standard leagues, although I'd love to see Grant get more of a role. And Calderon, he's borderline. He's owned in 36% of leagues, so he's around. But if you're going to play 31 minutes, then you definitely have to be in consideration. Mallow was not his most efficient, 7 of 22 and 5 of 7 from the line, but still 19-11-6 with a steal is some pretty decent counting stats. And Kylo Quinn couldn't get up again. He just had the 5 minutes, did cock, 0 points with 1 rebound after a pretty big performance in the last game out for the Knicks. The next game we look at, the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks. Taj Gibson, 11-7-3 with a block. He's steady, he's ownable in 12-team leagues, but he's not great. Derrick Rose sat this one out again. So Doug McDermott played 31 minutes and scored 20 points. He's a great ad for points, and that's really about it. He did have 5 rebounds, and some reason now he's throwing down dunks. So make of that what you will. But he's not a must-add player. Now, the last time that Rose missed, it was Etuan Moore and Tony Snell carrying the load. Wasn't so much here. They did battle some foul troubles. Moore had 4 fouls in 22 minutes. Snell had 3 fouls in 20 minutes. It was more, we saw 20 minutes of Justin Holiday, we got 25 minutes of Mike Dunleavy, we got 26 minutes of Aaron Brooks. There's no actionable fantasy move for any of this. Bobby Portis, though, I don't think you can really hold him in 12-team leagues. He played 23 minutes, 8-5 on 3 of 11 shooting. It's not good enough for 12-team leagues. You're going to need another injury, a Gibson injury, a Gasol injury, to really consider him in 12-team formats. Mike Dunleavy, he's more of a 14-team league guy. He did have a triple one, 6 points and 8 boards. So that's some nice numbers, but he's just a step below 12-team leagues, I think. On the Hawks, predictably their big men put up massive lines, 18-5-4 for Al Horford with 2 triples, a steal and 4 blocks, while Paul Millsap went 12-13 with 4 assists, 2 steals and 5 blocks. You play the Bulls as a big man, you get big numbers. Jeff Teague, I thought he was due for a big one. He did get it here. 31 minutes, 19-3-9, 2 triples and 2 steals. While Dennis Schroeder played just 14 minutes and went 7-3-3. That is the problem with owning Dennis Schroeder. Yes, he'll have nights where he has 18 points in 18 minutes, but he'll also have nights when he plays 14 minutes and has 7 points. And do you want that in your 12-team league? There's great potential there, definitely. But he's not like, say, a backup like Darren Collison, who gets 30 minutes a night, regardless of if he starts or not. This doesn't happen with Schroeder. Yes, he's ranked inside the top 40 over the last 2 weeks, averaging 16.5 points in 23.5 minutes. But it all comes back to unsustainable trends. He's shooting 54%. He's a 42% shooter. He's not going to shoot 54%. He's getting an extra 3 or 2 field goal attempts per game in that time frame. That's making a difference. He's not going to shoot at that accelerated level. He's not going to hit 2 threes a game in 18 minutes. I understand owning Schroeder in 12-team leagues, and when you see it, the last 2 weeks rank of top 40, it's very hard to say, I don't think he should be owned. But the consistency is not going to be there, and the minutes aren't going to be there consistently enough for me to go, you have to own this guy. To me, if I own him in a 12-team league, he's probably the worst player on my bench, where if there's someone else that I want to add or make a streaming move, he's probably the first one to go. And if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know it's not because I don't like Schroeder or don't like his fantasy talent. It's just that I look at the situation and go, most nights, he's not going to exceed 20 minutes. Tim Hardaway almost got to 20 minutes, 19 points with 9 and 6. And Kent Bazemore, as bad as Kent Bazemore's been, for some reason this game, he took the most shots on the team. 17 shots, he hit 6 of them for 17 points with 7 rebounds. It was his first time in double-digit scoring in the last 6 games. His rank over the last 2 weeks is outside the top 200. He is not a must-own player anymore. Kyle Korver, after I declared him to be back, has been terrible. 31 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm still holding on to Kyle Korver, though, but another prolonged stretch of suckiness, and he can probably move on. But for now, you're definitely holding. Denver and Dallas, I don't even know what to say about this game. Just a very, very weird rotation game. We'll start with Denver. Danilo Gallinari, ankle injury. We don't know what the severity is of it, except it looks bad. And from the quotes from Gallinari after, he said it's worse than the last one, which cost him about 2 weeks of action. Now, that might not mean he loses 2 weeks of action here, but you feel like at least a week is going to be in order for Gallinari. But we'll wait to hear more of a timetable on him. People who are like, I'm dropping him, just calm a little bit, because maybe it's all right. I would say there's about a 5% chance of that, but harken your mind back to LaMarcus Aldridge last year. He's out for 6 weeks, thumb surgery, neck minute, playing. I'm not saying that Gallinari is going to do that, because the thumb is a little bit different to an ankle, but I'm not just doing an outright drop of Danilo Gallinari because he hurt his ankle and we don't know the situation with it. I'd rather wait and see exactly what goes down. With Gallinari limited, we saw big minutes from Gaz Harris, who played 46 minutes and went 17-4 with 2 steals and 3 triples, and Willie Barton played 43 and went 22-9. Both these guys are must-own players, in my opinion. We also saw DJ Augustin play 36 minutes. Emmanuel Mudiay played 26. So Augustin was preferred over Mudiay, and he scored 20 points. He had 3 assists and 3 triples. Are you adding Augustine in 12 team leagues? If you've got Brandon Jennings, do it. Make the move. If you've got Bobby Portis and you're looking for a guard, you do it. Make the move. Don't drop a value player to do it. Now, if you've got Dennis Schroeder, do you add DJ Augustine? That's a tough one. But in my mind, I think that Augustine has more of a chance at minutes than what Schroeder does. He's not as productive as what Schroeder can be, but the minutes should be heading in his direction. Now, he's not going to play 36 each night. He might not start over Moutier, but he's doing something here, and he is playing into a role. That's twice in the last three games he's gotten close to, or exceeded 30 here and got 29 in another game. Some extra run happening from him, and it's interesting. He's definitely a 12-team league guy to grab if you can, and otherwise watch. Darrell Arthur played 30 minutes, went 13-8, and Ken Faried went 20-12 with a steal and a block. That's how topsy-turvy this game was. Faried played 34 minutes. The game went really small. Nikola Jokic played 11 minutes, Joffrey Lavernier played 3, and Yusuf Nurkic played 0. So the centers on this team combined for 14 minutes as the Nuggets went exceptionally small. This will happen sometimes. Both teams went really small. I'm always a little bit concerned about what Mike Malone does. He has some very curious rotational decisions. But Jokic, I'm still holding on to him. He still had 5, 4, and 2 in 11 minutes. You go to 22 minutes. What's that? 10, 8, and 4. Beautiful. You obviously can't just do straight extrapolations like that. But I'm not overly concerned with him just yet. It's frustrating, but I'm not concerned. Moutier himself went 4, 2, and 6 on 1 of 5 shooting. He had 4 turnovers as well, so it wasn't his best night. We'll see what happens with him in the next game, but don't move on from him just because of that performance. On the Mavericks, they went small as well. Zaza Pachulia played 8 minutes and had 0 points, 1 rebound and 2 steals. Yeah, quietly, he hasn't been great lately, but does it mean it's an outright drop of him? No, I don't think it is just yet, but you could definitely consider it. His last month has him ranked outside the top 190, but he's still pulling in double-digit boards. The problem is he hasn't blocked a shot in the last month. That's not why you drafted him. But he gets you a steal a game, 2 assists, and his free throw percentage has dropped off as well. He's at 61%. He gets that back up to 75, 77%. And we're talking about a guy who's around that 100 mark. But he has struggled recently. That doesn't mean that I'm dropping him. Because playing a defensive front line of David Lee and Dirk Nowitzki is not going to work against teams who are decent. Now, Lee played well. He played 25 minutes and went 14-14 on 6 of 10 shooting. He had 2 assists and a steal. But playing him and Dirk is a recipe for disaster. He's not going to get... This could be his ceiling, 25 minutes. I think it probably is his ceiling. He's not someone that I am rushing out to. In a 14-team league, absolutely. You grab him. But in a 12-team league, most of the time, I think you'll be pretty... You'll be dropping someone that's better than him to make an ad, and that's probably not the way that I'd want to go about it. Chandler Parsons played 40 minutes. He went 27-5-4 and had 4 triples, a big game there. And Wes Matthews starting to get back into form, 17-3-2 with 4 triples in 41 minutes. If he's around, go and add him because he has been dropped. Ray Felton played 40 minutes as well. For all you Ray Felton fans, 16-4-6 with a steal. He has been exceptionally good this season, and it's amazing to me. He's a 14-team must-own guy. He's only owned in 9% of leagues, which is ridiculously low. You could make a case that in 12-team leagues, he's a definite stream candidate, and he could be owned in some situations. If I have a look at the way that he's ranked currently, he's in the top 114, or he's ranked 114th over the last 2 weeks, 125th over the last month. In 14-team leagues, that means you want to own him. In 12-team leagues, it means you can own him, but most people don't. But he's been really good. He's a nice source of assist, 4.2 dimes over the last month. Great free throw percentage at 85. Not terrible field goal percentage, getting you over a steal a game, half a three. Nice rebounding numbers. Very, very underrated player. Dirk Nowitzki, 20-13 with 4 assists and a block. And yes, I did just say that Ray Felton was an underrated player. Just wanted to get back to that and clarify. Darren Williams, 12 points, 4 assists with 3 triples. Not his greatest night at the office either. Los Angeles Kings play a different sport. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Sacramento Kings. We've talked Chris Paul, we've talked Jeff Green. JJ Redick was also good. 16 points with 3 rebounds. Not a lot else, but that's basically what JJ Redick is. And what about my boy Luke Marmute? Yeah, he didn't do anything. 6 points in 22 minutes. Had a steal and hit both of his shots, but he's playing probably 22 minutes too many. DeAndre Jordan had 8 and 11, so a substandard night from him, and Jamal Crawford chimed in with 21 off the bench. He added one rebound, nothing else. That is what he does. He hurts your He hurts your field goal percentage as well. So he's really only for certain teams that can do with that points boost and absorb a field goal hit. Wes Johnson, 21 minutes for him with Jeff Green getting extra run. 4 and 5, but did add a steal and a block. It's getting harder and harder to consider him a guy for 12-team leagues at this point. On the Kings, Boogie went 26, 15 and 9 and had a Richie Beno, a double-triple one. 2 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. The poor percentages weren't good. 7 of 20 and 10 of 14, but that is just a monster line from Boogie. Darren Collison started in place of Rondo, 37 minutes, 18, 3 and 5 with 2 steals and 3 threes. I included Collison on my Dynasty Monster board top 100 yesterday because if Rondo leaves, Collison will start and he will be a top 50 guy. If Rondo stays, then Collison will be limited, but he will play that bench guard, point guard, bench shooting guard player and be solid like where he is now. He's only owned in 63% of leagues. It is way too low. He is 30 minutes a night almost guaranteed at the present time, Rondo in or Rondo out. That's because Ben McLemore and Marco Bellinelli are terrible. 20 minutes for McLemore for 5 points, 13 minutes for Bellinelli, 2 points. They're not doing anything. With Rondo out, Seth Curry stepped up. He had 26 minutes, 19 and 4 with 3 triples. Is this the Curry takeover? No. He'll go back to playing a very limited role once Rondo returns from his turf toe issue. But this toe has been bothering Rondo for a while, and now it's just finally causing to miss a game. Doesn't mean that more misses could be coming. It's a possibility. Willie Cauley-Stein got 24 minutes. That sort of feels like where he's settling in now. 4 and 6 with no defensive numbers. Very tough to own him. And Omri Caspi, no longer a 12-team league guy for me. 6 and 9 in 25 minutes. Also didn't touch on Rudy Gay. He had 23 points on 18 shots. So super inefficient Gay. Memphis and Lakers. No Tony Allen. The Grizzlies with a comfortable victory. PJ Hairston started and played 30 minutes. He scored a career-high 21 points and had 5 triples, 4 rebounds, and 1 steal. He also did on 8 of 13 shooting, which A, won't happen again, and B, won't get the opportunity to happen again. I don't imagine that he plays 30 minutes very much often in a game where they were able to limit their starters quite significantly. He played the most minutes on the team. It's just not going to happen for PJ Hairston. You can look at him in 16 to 18 team leagues, but even that, I reckon you'd look at dropping him in about a week or so. The Vince Carter mid-season, what the hell is going on, tour continued. 20 minutes, 19 points, 5 triples, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. He's getting decent minutes with Allen out, and he's actually producing. This was the guy that I thought that Vince could be coming over from Dallas last season, but he was a complete non-factor. He is a top 50 player in the last 2 weeks, averaging 15 points, yes, 2.8 triples, 4 rebounds, 1.3 steals on 56% shooting. He shot 39 for the year. He shot 33 last year. It is not sustainable. It's great. You can ride him and stream him in and add him in 14-team leagues, but it won't continue. There is no chance he continues at this rate. Mike Conley had 17 with 7 assists. Zach Randolph went 15, 10, and 5, and these are all coming against the Lakers, mind you. And Brandon Wright, 18 minutes in a start, 8 and 5 with 2 blocks, very efficient, 3 of 3 from the field. And that's basically what Brandon Wright is going to give you. Unsurprisingly, he didn't have a turnover. Lance Stephenson played 26 minutes and went 14, 7, and 3. And the Lance fans will get excited about this. I don't count me amongst that group because when Allen returns, 20 minutes are going to have to get lopped off somewhere. Yeah, some of them will come off Hairston, but some of them are going to come off Stephenson as well. He's more of a 14-team league guy at the moment. Jermichael Green moved back to the bench, had 10 points. Any relevancy he had in 12-team leagues is done. And Matt Barnes, not a good night after a big one against the Lakers in the last game. 7 points, 3 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. Still contributed, but missed all 5 of his shots for 0 points. Mario Chalmers, I thought a big minutes might be coming his way with the trades in Memphis. It's gone the other way. He's getting less minutes somehow. I can't explain that. The Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, he should be owned everywhere. 30 minutes, 22, 3 and 3 with 2 triples, while Lou Williams had 13 with 3 assists off the bench in 24 minutes. But it's hard to get a handle on this Lakers team. Marcelo Huertas played 7 minutes. Ryan Kelly got 6 minutes. It was a Byron Scott's emptying the bench sort of thing. 6 minutes for Bob Sacre. Kobe sat this one out, so Anthony Brown started and played 32 minutes. Julius Randle had his usual empty 17 and 7 with poor free throw shooting. That's just going to continue to be who he is, and that's really all there is to say with the Lakers, I think. They're just really just a terrible, terrible team at the moment. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Saturday.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come and now, me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
For Saturday. There is an early game though, so check your contests to make sure if that game is included, and it is the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, which is where we'll start today. Joe Johnson signed with Miami, which I think is a surprising move to some. As per usual, they're idiots all over the place. This guy's a liar, he's trash. Why would he go here if he wants to ring? Whatever, he went there, big deal, get over it, he's there. What does it mean for, I'll start with what does it mean for seasonal leagues? I don't think he gets the 34 minutes he was playing in Brooklyn. I think he plays more 27, 28, 29, that range. It's going to lop some of the playing time off Justice Winslow. It'll take some of it away from Josh Richardson. And hopefully it takes a big chunk away from Gerald Green, because he's been terrible. So Winslow, who was really trending up to be a 12-team league guy, I don't think he's a must-drop guy. Yeah, Green has no value. And Deng, I think, is going to continue to play the four. So I don't think he really gets affected too much. So all in all, Johnson cops a bit of a hit. He'll be less effective than what he was in Brooklyn. But we just need to see how this plays out, how they use him. I don't imagine, now I could be wrong, I don't imagine they go with a starting lineup of Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Joe Johnson, and Luol Deng. It just feels so slow, and the defense isn't going to be great. The shot creation is not ideal. I would rather have Winslow out there to provide some athleticism and defense and play Johnson in a six-man role. We'll see how Spoelstra runs it, but that starting lineup does not appeal to me whatsoever. We'll see how they run it, but I can't see him getting 30 plus minutes on the regular, at least 34 minutes, which he was getting in Brooklyn. And we're going to see a slight hit to Winslow and Richardson and Green, and yeah, I think Deng is relatively safe. DFS, Joe Johnson isn't playing in this game. He doesn't clear waivers until after the game is over, so he won't be here. With the point guards, both these teams restrict opposition point guards to a significant degree, so 6,300 for Goran Dragic, it's a little bit appealing given he's averaging 34 points over the last five, so I'd feel okay using him, but Boston, there's a definite shutdown effect that they have. Isaiah Thomas, on the other hand, at 8,200, I'm not spending an extra 2,000 on Isaiah Thomas when I could get almost similar production over the last three games from Goran Dragic. Now, he's not the same player. Thomas is better. Thomas has been producing more, but it's $2,000 less overall value-wise. I reckon Dragic might be the better play. Marcus Smart at 5,100. I don't want to use him here. At shooting guard, Avery Bradley, he's at 5,600. He's been pretty consistent lately, averaging 26 across his last three, 24 across his last five. It's okay. It's not a great number. It's probably not a tournament-winning lineup. He's not in a tournament-winning lineup. In a cash game situation, yeah, you can work around it, but he hasn't been awesome. 7,500 for Dwayne Wade. Yeah, maybe, but I probably, look, he did have a big game in the last one, but I'd maybe put him into a tournament, and that's probably where we'd leave it. Gerald Green, Josh Richardson, they're going to get a reprieve in this one. They'll play some minutes, but they won't be worth using for DFS. At small forward, Jay Crowder at 6,200. He had a big game in the last one, despite playing only 23 minutes, put up almost 29 fantasy points. He's averaging 33 across his last five. At 6,200, he feels like a really nice cash game option. 6,000 for Luol Deng, love him in cash as well, like him in tournaments. He's averaging 36 or 37 across his last five, 39 across his last three, really thriving in that power forward role with Chris Bosh out. So at 6,000, he's a guy that you feel pretty comfortable rolling out. And Evan Turner's at 5,600, and he's another guy that I'm relatively confident that he's going to get 27 points, 26 points around that mark. And at 5,600, it's not bad for cash games. Justice Winslow at 4,600. He's been awesome lately too, averaging almost 30 points over the last three. No Joe Johnson in this one. He's at 4,600. Winslow can be used too. So all the small forwards here, Crowder, Deng, Turner, Winslow, I like all of them. I think all of them can have value in cash and in tournaments. The power forwards, Jared Sullinger is at 6,000. He's been playing here fairly well. You're pretty consistent, averaging 33 across his last five. I think he is a fine option to use. Other guys like Yoni Shirepko, Amir Johnson, Jordan Mickey from Boston, we don't want to get too excited about them. And Josh McRoberts and Amari Stoudemire on the Heat, I don't think they're really worth looking at for DFS lineup purposes. At center, Hassan Whiteside's the only really deal in town here. 8,200 for Whiteside. A great matchup against Boston. He doesn't have Kelly Olynyk to punch in the back of the head, so maybe that allows him to stay on the court. He's averaging basically 40 points across his last five. 40 points feels like it's easily achievable for Whiteside here, so there's a bit of value there with him. The next game we're going to look at, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New Orleans Pelicans. We don't have a spread released for this one just yet. Eric Gordon is back for the Pelicans. He'll slot straight back into that starting shooting guard spot with Bryce DeJean-Jones out for the season with that broken wrist. Jrue Holiday's at 7,700, a really positive matchup for him. 7,700's creeping up price-wise. Can you get 36, 37 points? Yeah, he's a big chance to do it, but yeah, it's making me a little bit put off with it. Norris Cole with Eric Gordon returning at 4,900 for Cole. Can he get 25 points? He had a big game in the last one, but really hadn't been anywhere near that in the games prior to that. I'll leave him alone. And Rick Rubio is at 6,900. That's not all that expensive for Rubio. He's averaging 36 across his last three, 34 across his last five. I feel relatively comfortable with Rubio. There's a slight bit of risk associated with him, but he has been playing some pretty decent minutes and some pretty decent numbers lately. At shooting guard, we have Zach LaVine at 4,900. He should be back in the starting lineup for this one. Hasn't mattered really for him. He's been a 32-minute-a-game guy for most nights. At 4,900, 25 points is the aim. I think that he can get to that one here. Even if he doesn't, his lowest score in his last five has been 20, which is not a complete write-off. Eric Gordon at 5,000. Great matchup for him. Can he get to 25 points? I think his ownership's going to be pretty low. And in a tournament, I'd be okay with throwing him out there. I think that he could have a decent game in this situation. Andy Wiggins, 6,600 for him. Not a good spot to play him. I don't think I would use him at small forward. We look at Shabazz Muhammad's at 3,900, tournament only, and literally the other guys are Alonzo G, Tayshaun Prince, Luke Babbitt, and Damian Rujesh. So they don't have really any appeal whatsoever unless you're in a negative DFS league. Gorgui Dieng at 6,500 with the power forwards, love it. Yes, Mitchell might do something with the minutes, but it's only been once. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. He put up 38 in the last game. 6,500 is not a big salary. Love him here. And Anthony Davis at 10,200. Love him as well. 50 points for Davis. It doesn't feel like it's too much of a stretch. Ryan Anderson is 5,300. I don't care in cash games. I don't want to use him in a tournament. Sure, I'll have a look, but the Timberwolves have been a little bit restrictive for power forwards, so he's maybe not the best option, but at 5,300, you can go in a tournament and maybe he gets hot, maybe he gets you 35, 37 points. That's sort of his upside. At center, Karl Towns has dropped under 9,000. He's at 8,900. That makes him very appealing to me against this Pelicans front court, which is bad. And there is Omer Asik who doesn't play there. We're going to have Kendrick Perkins out there more. So we're going to see Davis a lot on Towns, I'm imagining. But still, 8,900 is appealing to me for Towns. Alexei Ajinsa at 3,500. They're just not giving him enough minutes for that to be appealing. The Portland Trailblazers and the Chicago Bulls, no spread out for this one yet either. Derrick Rose is considered questionable with his hamstring tendonitis. No other injuries to report on, so that's always a good sign. But yeah, no, the chances of Rose playing, they're up in the air at this point. If Rose plays, he'd be interesting at 7,200. I'll give him that. If he plays, I would like to use him. If he plays or if he doesn't play, Damian Lillard at 9,400 has a great opportunity. He's either going to face Derrick Rose or he's going to have Aaron Brooks in the way, or Etuan Moore, someone who's not an ideal defender. He had a bit of a down game in the last one, Lillard. He's at 9,400. 45 points is definitely in play against this Chicago team. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum, I think, is a really good option here. He's at 7,500. Again, a bit of a quiet game for him in the last game, but this is a real positive matchup averaging 34 across his last five. I think that he's obviously got 40-point upside here. He's a 35-point guy you'd feel pretty comfortable with. Alan Crabb, Gerald Henderson, their play has tailed off recently. Don't want to use them. Etuan Moore stunk in today's game. He's at 4,600. It's probably a little bit expensive for me if Rose plays. If he doesn't, I'd be a bit more excited about using him. And Tony Snell at 3,600. No thanks, Tone. The small forwards. Mike Dunleavy for the Bulls. He's at 3,700. At 3,700, when you're averaging 22 across the last three, that's doable. He can be looked at. Al-Farouq Aminu at 4,700. Love the matchup for him, but the ceiling is just doesn't feel really high, so I don't think I'll use him. And Dougie Mack at 3,900, really throwing it down scoring-wise. If Rose is out, it doesn't matter that he doesn't contribute too much in other categories, because if he scores 18 to 20 points and gets you 4 or 5 rebounds, there's enough value. So he's not a complete guy to steer away from. At power forward, Ed Davis at 4,100. He gets the Bulls backcourt or frontcourt bump, but I'm still not all that interested in him. Taj Gibson's at 5,300, not interested in him. And Bob Portis at 4,100, I'm also not interested in him. So the power forwards, nothing really to see. For the centers, Mason Plumlee at 5,300, Bulls bump. He's averaging 27 as it is, and this could be a big game for him. Pau Gasol, on the other hand, at 9,000, definitely okay with rolling him out. I reckon he can probably find a better option, but he's not a complete rider. 40 points feels like it's in the grass for him most nights. The next game, the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets. This has been not good for fantasy so far this season. No matter who wins, the Rockets won on Christmas Day, that the Spurs won the next round. It just hasn't been a good game for fantasy purposes. For the injury-wise, we're looking at the questionable tags and a couple of big men from Houston. Donatas Motiejunas, who is a chance to return to action, and Clint Capela, who missed the last one with an ankle sprain. We'll start with the point guards, though. Tony Parker is okay at 5,400. I think he's actually better than okay. He's averaging 29 points across his last five. His lowest score is only 21, and at 5,400, I reckon you can utilize Tony Parker when not many others will. Pat Beverley's at 49, same for him. He's got a 30-point average across his last three, dropped 27 in the last game, and at sub-5,000, sure, I'll get behind that. Patty Mills, Jason Terry, Ty Lawson, I won't get behind those guys. At shooting guard, Danny Green's at 4,400. Tournaments, yes. Cash, no. 11,000 for Jim Harden. The price is getting up there, and when you're taking on the Spurs, Kawhi and Danny Green, I'm not spending 11,000 on James Harden. Small forwards, Kawhi's at 7,900. Even in just the 32 minutes a game over the last five games, he's averaging 43 points. So if he gets sat and plays 30, 31 minutes, which actually hasn't happened too much lately, I'm okay with using him. He's only at 7,900. 45 points feels like it's clearly within reach. Corey Brewer, no thanks. Kyle Anderson, the minutes have been up, but they're not enough to impact DFS. And Trev Ariza, he's at 6,200 now. That's putting him a little bit out of my price range, especially now that Kawhi might be playing on him. Unlikely, though, as Ariza's been playing mostly at power forward. But he's an okay guy to look at, just nothing too really mind-blowing. The power forward battle, LaMarcus Aldridge at 7,000. 35 points, that's what you need him to get. Great Rockets bump here. He's averaging 35 across the last five. Fine. I think he's usable. Josh Smith, Clint Capela, Terrence Jones, Donatas Motiejunas, Montrezl Harrell, 5 power forwards amongst them. None of them any good. They have no DFS impact. Boris Diaw and David West, same. At center, Tim Duncan. Which Tim Duncan do we get? 15-minute Tim Duncan, 30-minute Tim Duncan. 30-minute Tim Duncan gives us 31 fantasy points. 15-minute Tim Duncan gives us 2 fantasy points. There's a big discrepancy there. Now, there's a big Rockets bump here. 5,200 for Duncan, though, is too expensive for me to invest. 8,100 for Dwight, I'm okay. I'm on board with that. I think that he's going to put up some decent numbers. He's averaging 38 already across his last five. Definitely fine with that, with getting Dwight out there, even though that salary is, on the surface, looks a little bit high. The Detroit Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks is the next game that we're going to talk about. The Bucks are favored by 2. The total is 203 points. Unlikely we're going to have the services of John Henson or Jared Bayless for the Bucks. For the Pistons, no one to really care too much about. Still no Anthony Tolliver. They're obviously at point guard. Mike Carter-Williams, 5,900. With Jared Bayless likely out, he'll probably see minutes in the 30s again. Will he get fantasy points in the 30s? I'm less confident about using him. The projections look good for him, but other than my confidence level's not high. 6,700 for Reggie Jackson just feels too high against Carter Williams, who has been playing defense well. I don't want to spend up there on Jackson at the shooting guard position. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is priced at 5,200. That is way too rich for what he's been providing. OJ Mayo at 3,700 really let me down the last couple of nights, but in a tournament, he can go big. And if he stays out of foul trouble, he's had 9 fouls combined in the last 2 games, and that's limited his minutes in production. If he can play 30 minutes with Bayless out, yeah, 25, 28, 29 points is the range. 7,600 for Chris Middleton. He's averaging 39 points across his last 5. The Pistons have been restricting the wing players decently. Yeah, Middleton has been solid, but at 7,600, it just feels a bit expensive to me. The small forwards on the roster for the Pistons, Toby Harris at 5,900, easily averaging over 30. His last 3 dropped 34 in the last game. Sub 6,000 makes him a winner to me. 5,400 for Marcus Morris. He was good in the last one. This is a positive matchup for him, but I'm not sure I'm expecting him to have as big a game as what he had against the Sixers. Giannis is at 8,100. He still dropped 40 in the last game, so it gave us 5x value. This is a bit of a harder matchup, but I'm not averse completely to using Giannis here, given he's averaging 45 points across the last 5. Reggie Bullock and Steve Novak can be left alone. At power forward, Jabari Parker at 5,700, been smashing that value. Yes, the Pistons really restrict power forwards like a lot, but 5,700 for Parker, can he get to 30 points? If so, it's over 5x value. At 5,700, he is someone to consider. And we look now at the centers. Andre Drummond at 8,500. Don't love it in this one. The Bucks front court is terrible at yielding points, but 8,500 for Drummond, he needs to go for 46 or 47 to give us 5x, and I'm not really sure he gets there. Greg Monroe in 7,900 has been awesome playing recently, averaging 0.4 points in his last 3 games, dropped 42 today, a positive matchup going up against the Pistons recently. At 7,900, do I think he can approach 40 points? Probably won't want to do it, except revenge factor. Does any of that happen as the Pistons come to town for his former team? Maybe give him an extra point or two, and that might make him viable, but he's far from a must-play sort of player. The Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Warriors are favored by 3.5 points. The total is out of control. It is 234.5. We have got the best offensive players in the NBA. In the NBA, facing off against each other, we have got Steph Curry, who is priced at 11,100, and Russell Westbrook, who is priced at 11,000. Both of them, great ease matchup. Who do you like more? Steph, who's been averaging 63 across his last 3, 55 points in his last 5, he's at 11,100. Westbrook is at 11,000. He's averaging 53 across his last 3, 53 across his last 5. His lowest score in his last 5 is 47. Do the Warriors blow out the Thunder and Steph sits the last quarter? I don't think Westbrook will. I actually still like Steph because I think the Thunder can keep it sort of close-ish. And I think Steph plays some pretty decent minutes. I'm a bit worried about this pick though. When you see the DFS picks of the day later, you'll see Steph Curry's in there as one of my picks. He has got more bust potential than what Westbrook does. It's $100 less you pay for Westbrook. That's not much in the scheme of things, but I think with Westbrook you feel a little bit safer, but Curry has got the higher ceiling at the moment. Campaign completely out of the rotation, which annoys me. The shooting guards, Klay Thompson is at 7,000, hasn't returned value much lately, but I'm okay with using him. I think that he's got a big chance to bounce back here. Dion Waiters, Andre Robertson, Randy Foy, Anthony Morrow, and the crap that's in Golden State. There is no other shooting guards worth considering. With the small forwards, Kev Durant is at 10,400. He's averaging 48 across his last 3. 10,400, you got to make a decision. I'd rather spend it up on Curry or Westbrook than Durant here. But still, if you got room for 2 max salary type guys, then he's a preferred option over, say, Jim Harden. He's averaging 44 across his last 5. It needs to be higher. 48 across his last 3. That's sort of getting better, but he's not quite there. Harry Barnes at 4,400, not for me. Same with Andre Iguodala. With the power forwards, Draymond Green is a tournament-only option. He's no chance that I want anything to do with him in cash. He's averaging 33 across his last 3, 35 across his last 5, but at 8,100, you want him to do more. Serge Ibaka's at 57. He's not quite doing enough to strike up my interest. And, yeah, not much else to talk about from the power forward position. Let's look at the centers in this game. Steve Adams is at 4,400. The Warriors go fast. So big men can put up some decent numbers. He's a tournament option at 44. Andy Bogut at 4,800. Averaging 26 across the last three. 28 in his last game. 23 over his last five. Yeah, it's decent. There's some way you could look to use him, but I probably wouldn't make that much of an effort and consider him just a guy that I'm going to leave alone. Memphis and Phoenix. The Grizzlies are favored by 6.5. The total is 208 in this game. Tony Allen is questionable. If he doesn't play, that impacts guys like Lance Stevenson, like PJ Harrison, who we mentioned in the last game. The Suns' point guards, it's a real mess. 3,900 for Ronnie Price. Sure, you can punt on that in a tournament. He dropped 29 in the last game. He's definitely worth a look. Mario Chalmers, no thanks. Mike Conley is at 6,900, just not quite getting it done. And when the game's a blowout, they do restrict his minutes. So he is not someone who I want to look at here. With the shooting guards, Devin Booker at 4,800. At this point, I want to see him do something good before we actually start relying upon him again. If Tony Allen happens to be out, Lance Stevenson's got a great matchup against the Suns. He dropped 28 in the last game. He's at 3,500, which is minimum salary. 20 points for him is definitely within range, and he would be a nice guy to use. Archie Goodwin is done, and John Jenkins doesn't really have too much of an appeal. The small forwards, Matty Barnes at 5,000. I'll be on him to bounce back. It was a stinker, no doubt, but I'll be okay with using him in a tournament, probably less okay with him in a cash game, but he will bounce back. PJ Tucker at 4,400 hasn't been getting much done. What do you do with Vince Carter? He's at 3,800. If Tony Allen happens to be out, Vince has been easily exceeding value. I talked about it before with his field goal percentage. It's just not, I just don't see him being a guy that I'm going to want to roster in DFS. Same goes with PJ Hairston at 3,600. It was a career high, and it's a career high for a reason, because he's just not that good, or he hasn't been that good so far. With the power forwards, Mirza Teletovic, 4,600, been getting solid run lately, solid production from him. 25 points and you're over 5x value, so he can be looked at. Same with Zebo at 6,500. 35 points is the target, and you're going to lock in with him, you know, on the odd occasion, especially here going up against Phoenix. John Lua and Jermichael Green, they're both going to be buried. We leave them alone. Although John Lua, has he got a revenge game factor in him in the 5 minutes that Earl Watson's going to give him? Probably won't matter too much, I'm guessing. And the center position, Brandon Wright's at 3,700. Doesn't need to do anything at 3,700. 18 points, bang, 20 points, you're done. Great matchup for him. Cash, probably not. Tournament, yes. Alex Len, I'm not trusting. Not that I'm not trusting him, I'm not trusting the role that he's in. And Tyson Chandler at 4,700. If I hear that Chandler's starting, I can maybe look at him in a tournament, but that's probably about it for Tyson Chandler. The last game of the night, the Brooklyn Nets and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz here are favored by 11.5. It's a pretty decent spread. The total is 196 points, so there's a much lower than, say, Golden State, Oklahoma City. We're almost talking 40 points differential. Shelvin Max at 3,700. Hasn't really produced yet so far, but 3,700, you definitely love throwing him out there as a punt option in your tournaments. Don Sloan's at 4,800. Just a consistent guy at the moment, a 25 to 27 point guy, which I never thought I'd hear myself saying. But Donald Sloan at 4,800, you could do heaps worse than use him. Hal Neto, Shane Larkin, and Trey Burke, they're not worth our time. Shooting guards, Rodney Hood is at 6,000. Great matchup for him against the Nets. No Joe Johnson, 6,000. Can he get 30 points? Yeah, he can. Will he do it? I'm not all that convinced. Markel Brown, Wayne Ellington. I'd throw Markel into a tournament at 3,600 and see if maybe he can get hot and grab some rebounds. That would be interesting, but that's really about it. With the small forwards on this roster, Bojan Bogdanovic at 3,600. He's a tournament punt option. Gordon Hayward really gets a chance to shine here. 7,300 against the Nets. I think that he's going to post up a 35 or probably even a 40-point game. So he's a guy that is definitely an interesting player for me to look at here. With the power forwards, Derek Favors at 7,700. The salary is creeping up, but his production is beating that easily. Fine, happy to use him. And Thad Young at 7,000. Not a great matchup for Thad. I don't think I want to spend up there. Trevor Booker, Thomas Robinson, Trey Lyles and Willie Reed, and Chris McCullough, they don't move the needle for me at all. At the center position, Rudy Gobert, 6,700. I want to see him actually do something because he hasn't done it for a while, so I'll leave him alone. And Brooke Lopez, 8,600. That is quite expensive. I'm not sure that I'm going to have the dollary dues to get onto him and to throw out, you know, 45 fantasy points. Is that going to be doable? Yeah, sure. But not against Gobert, not against Favors. I'm not sure that the pace of this game or the talents of those players are going to allow him to do that. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day now. At point guard, Shelvin Mack, 37, Rick Rubio, 69, and Steph Curry, 11,100. For the shooting guard, Zach LaVine, 49, Klay Thompson, 7,000, and CJ McCollum, 7,500. Small forwards, Matty Barnes, 5,000, Toby Harris, 59, and Kawhi Leonard, 79. The power forwards, Mirza Talitovic, 46, Gorgui Dieng, 65, and Anthony Davis, 10,200. And the centers, Brandon Wright, 37, Mason Plumlee, 53, and Karl Anthony Towns, 8,900. We are done here, guys. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, and the Facebook address is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Of course, Basketball Monster on Twitter is Bask Monster, and check out our site for my Dynasty Monster Board, all the articles that go up there, all the tools for your seasonal and DFS leagues. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.